Well, welcome to the Off the Cuff Show. We're here for episode 3 of the show, and it is my great pleasure, a massive pleasure to say the least, that one of the, shall we say, legends of our game has managed to give up a little bit of his time this morning to speak to us. So a massive welcome to the manager down at Needham Market, Mark Morsley. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Dave. How you doing?
I'm not too bad, sir. Not too bad at all. I suppose one of the first questions before we get on to, sort of start at the end and then go backwards, I suppose, in a way. But I know we spoke to you on the sister show, on the Ryman show and so forth. And we had a bit of a chat about how well Needham were doing and so forth. And then there was, I read in Twitter a few days later or a week or so later, and a sort of, for me, a bit of a bombshell when you've decided to, shall we say, move upstairs?
Yeah, I mean, it's... It is something that's been in the offering for a while. I made no secret of the fact that I'm a great love of Needham Market Football Club, and particularly the people over there. And it's the reason I've sort of been there 3 times and over in the last 15 years. But one of the things we became aware of, and I say this without any complaints or any... known any other football club, but quite often non-league football clubs will get to a situation where they go up the ladder, and then they don't have anyone in the positions of in the decision making positions who've actually been there and done it and been on the, have got the CV that shows that they've been successful in the non-league game. And that, added to the fact that my business interests have expanded, was always something that was in the offering, and it was probably going to happen in a year's time. I bought with Richard Wilkins in a year ago, obviously one of the, probably the top manager in Suffolk, non-league manager in Suffolk, and he came in as my number 2 with a lad called Tom Rothery, who was at Brighton, so he was a coach. And there was always the plan was to step, ratchet all up and then come into the picture. But it's probably going to be 2 years. But we just felt the way things had gone this year, and that the time was right to make that move, which means I shall next season sort of be, in charge or overseeing all the football at Needham Market Football Club, because it's an expanded business with the first team and also with our academy, because we're going to have 60 scholars next year, Dave, in the academy full time, and all those things need to be managed, and the club feel that my football CV puts me as the right person to do that.
So basically, I suppose we say a role like a director of football.
Yeah, I think, the term is chairman. I'm chairman of the limited company. The limited company that we created 18 months ago is the football side. It's not involved in the general committee. It's not involved in the day-to-day running of the actual site. It's involved with the football. So all the players are employed by the limited company, and there's 4 gentlemen on the board, of which I'm one, and I'm the chairman of that. It would be akin to a director of football role. The only problem with the director of football role is I think the boundaries are so vague about that role, what it does and doesn't and shouldn't do, and I don't really like the term. So it's probably close to what a director of football should be, but I'm not sure but fundamentally it is very much an overseeing role, which might be akin to a director of football. Yeah.
So I suppose, if we can, go back to sort of the beginning of your career with football. I mean, where did you start off with? Was you a player to start off with, or did you go straight into management?
My illustrious football career finished at any level when I was 17 years of age. I had a game of football that was being watched by a couple of pro scouts, and I broke my leg on that day. And that kind of knocked back any real thoughts of playing at any sort of decent level, I suspect. And bearing in mind, we're going back, 34 years, and there wasn't the leagues like there are now. Do you know what I mean? So it was something that happened on the day, and that was the way it went, and we moved on. So I never played a particularly high level of non-league football. I played locally. I enjoyed the crack locally. I played Sunday morning football. I just loved the game. And it's never ever changed. I mean, I was living and breathing football then, and I still do it today. So it was a local to where I over in Manchester where I live, it was a thoroughly enjoyable scenario. But I was always kind of very interested. When I played, Dave, I was always a captain of the team. I was always like the manager's confidant, and I was a player manager when I was 25 years of age, and probably went into management in the Essex and Suffolk Border League when I was around 30. But I suppose me management career kicked off because I was at Harwich about 17 years ago. I was involved with Harwich first team when Harwich were a decent non-league club with a guy called Steve McGavin. I was his assistant. That's where it all started for me.
So from there then, I mean, when did you get your first sort of chance on your own? Did you move bounce into, I know you've been to the likes of Sudbury and Leicester, yeah, and places like that, but where did it all sort of really first start for you?
What happened was that I was Steve McGavin's assistant at Harry's first team. Things didn't work out for him. I wanted the manager's job, and the chairman there, a great friend of mine, Tony Armstrong, said, fine, I'll work with you in the dressing room and let's see how you are. Because I've been successful in local football as a manager, but obviously that was a step up, so they wanted to have a look at me. So me and Tony ran the team for about three or four games, did very well, but then Tony had a bit of a heart scare, so he had to back out, and the club made the decision to give the job to somebody else. So what basically happened was the season after that, I was running Harwich reserves successfully, but 8 games into the season, I was offered the job. I mean, I applied for the job, obviously, at Needham Market. They had a horrendous start to the season, and I applied for the job over there. I met the chairman then, Nick Francis, who's now our vice chairman, and the chief executive, Graham Emerson. I met them at Graham's firm, his business, spoke for an hour, asked loads of questions about different things about the club, really enthusiastic. And I now know that after 5 minutes, they looked at each other, nodded, and I got the job. I've got to shut up after 5 minutes, but I'm not renowned for showing up. And I knew then that the fit was right. So we had 3 years, you know, 3 years at Needham, or 2 years, well, yeah, almost fully three seasons. And at that time, the club had, you know, the facility that's still there, they'd bought that, they'd got the building blocks in place for what they've got, and it was now time to move the football club on. And thankfully, I came in with some good staff, as has always been my the way I run things, and we were very, very successful. And it seems incredible now when I look back, but our third season there, we were in what's now, what's the Eastern Counties Premier, so a step three, four, step five, I think. We were the first club. You had Lowestoft, Berrytown, Sudbury, a number of clubs, you know, Leicester, of course, all in that league. But we were then saying, right at that stage, we want to get promoted and go into the rival league. I don't even know if it's a rival league. I think it's something else. It's Eastern League, basically.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So we were ahead of the game. We didn't get to that stage because we finished fourth and Lowestoft won the league that year. But then, for me, that was the opportunity to go to Sudbury. I was offered the job because Sudbury that year did go up. They did go into the Eastern League. And at the time, you know, Sudbury were... That was the best non-league job in Suffolk.
Yeah.
You know, it was bar none. I mean, Sudbury, we had a huge following. They had the Vars runs. They had been fantastically successful. Three Vars finals, you know, under Gary Harvey and very, very successful. And so that job came along, so I took that job.
I mean,
it was a great move for me.
I mean, while we're on the subject of Sudbury, I mean, are you a little bit, what should we say, not necessarily shocked, but are you a little bit concerned for them in their position in the league at the present day? I mean, I know they started off the season really, really well, and I know, especially me, you know, seeing them last year and, you know, some fantastic people down there. And it's, you know, me personally, I know it's very tight down there as it is at the top, but I must admit, one of the clubs that I look down there and think, well, I do hope they get the wins that they need to, yeah, you know, to stay up.
Yeah, they're a fantastic football club. I've still got a lot of friends there. I love going over there. I love a lot of the people over there. I think a lot of people really still like me. They remember fondly the success we had over there in the 2 years I was there. So I do like. I desperately want to see them get out of the mire, and I believe they will. I think Jamie Cobbold is a really good lad, and Andy Mellon is his assistant. They're great lads, and I think that I think it's really difficult. You know, I learned more last season in the relegation battle about myself and about the football club than I probably had in most of the years before, because that's when you find out about yourself. And I think that it's really difficult. It's a really difficult thing to have all that expectation. And but I just think that Jamie will pull out the fire. I think they will. I think they'll get the points they need to start. And I do think it'll be very, very tight. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful to any other clubs there. But Sudbury, AFC Sudbury will be a football club who will grace Ryman Premier. They've got almost professional facilities. Great academy running over there. Danny Laws, the ex-Needham manager, is the director of football over there, or the head coach of the academy over there. And I would dearly hope they manage to pull themselves out. And I really believe they will. I think they've got to be positive and believe they can do it. And really crack on and have a proper go, and hopefully they can be successful.
Yeah. So when you was at at Sudbury, how long was you there then at Sudbury?
Two seasons at Sudbury. We had two fantastic seasons. I have to say we were so close to doing so much. Well, quite a famous game. You probably remember it, Dave. We played in the first season. We got into the playoffs and played at Harlow in the playoff final, and lost on penalties that day. It was a quite incredible game of football, I have to say. It was one of the, if I had to pick five games, which were the top five games of my life, that would be there. I'd go to Sudbury and people still talk about the goal that my skipper, David Head, scored a fantastic headed goal, which wasn't offside, but it was offside. But they, some of the old boys say, Mark, you remember Heddy's goal? And I think, yeah, I remember it. But that was a great, we were a victim of our own success in many ways, because we had a great FA Trophy run. We got to the first round proper and we played at Newport away. We were 1-0 up in the 86th minute at Newport. I mean, you know, it was phenomenal, really. They'd absolutely battered us, to be fair. And then they nicked the goal, and then they're looking at Newport coming to Sudbury on a Tuesday night, and unfortunately they got the winner in injury time. But that was another great trip. So that first year was great. The second year, of course, was the year that Dartford they won, which was Division One North of the Ryman League, and again we'd had a great FA Cup run. We just ran out of steam. We Dartford, obviously big club as they are now, big support. And then we played Canby in the semi final of the playoffs. And we were running on empty then, really, and unfortunately we lost. But they were two fantastic, really fantastic seasons I had with the club, and great memories.
From there in, I mean, you know, what was it a case of you going on to
what happened to Sudbury was basically we'd failed the 2 years and we got so close because I just didn't have a big enough squad. That was the bottom line. I'd run on 16 players. I mean, we played 61 games one season and 59 games, something mad like that, you know what I mean? I needed a couple more players and I wanted a bigger budget, and the board didn't agree. So I kind of felt, well, you know, it's a. I mentioned David Head, my captain of that team. David's father, Martin, was a very successful manager. He took Sudbury to the Vars final in 84, when it was a fantastic achievement for Sudbury then, Sudbury Town that was. And he's become a great friend of mine and someone I would take advice from. And he gave me a great bit of advice, which I've never forgotten. He said to me, if you don't believe you've got the tools to do the job, walk away. And I didn't think that Sudbury were going to get... I didn't think I had the tools to take them forward. And so I resigned and left, which was a really tough decision because, as I said, it was one of the top jobs. Certainly a top, Suffolk normally job to have. So that was a shame. But I left there... a local team to me, Brantham Athletic, who play in the Eastern Counties League, so they're non-league now. Their chairman's a great friend of mine. They got back to that level. They had no experience, and he said, would you come and help us out behind the scenes? At the time, I thought that was a good move. They called me the chief executive or something like that, another strange term for a football club, but if you want to give me a title, give me that title. So I helped them, and we did very well, but I have to say that I was struggling a little bit, in terms of missing being in it on the touchline, because that was a lot of years ago, and I was, you know, was keen. So basically, my old mate, I mentioned his name earlier, Tony Armstrong, the Harry chairman, spoke to me and said, you know, Harry's at the bottom of the league. He said, Mark, we're really in the mire. We can't afford to get relegated. Will you come down and see if you can save us? So I went down and finished the season at Harwich, and we avoided relegation, which again was another great achievement at that level. And then there was a lot of plans at Harwich. They were going to, the following year, they were going to really throw money at the football team. They owned the ground and going to take a little bit of a risk. And I had the opportunity to build another team there, because I'd built a team at Needham. I built a team at Sudbury, and I wanted to build a team there. But That they kind of, I think they just got a bit concerned about the risk. I think Harry's many years ago had caught a cold with the way they managed the finances, and so that didn't happen. And then out of the blue, my a great friend of mine, David Bugg, who was chairman at Needham at the time, phoned me up and said, "Come and have a chat with Danny Laws." He was the manager there. They kind of got to a stage where they'd done quite well, very well in fact, but needed a little bit of a lift. And so I sat down with Danny. We chewed a cud for an hour. David sat there with a smile on his face with a glass of whiskey, and I went there as general manager with Danny, who I really enjoyed working with. He's a really good guy. And it's a shame I don't see him as much of him as a lot to nowadays, because obviously I was subbing with the academy. But so I was general manager, and we ran the team, and we got Needham. We won the Eastern Counties League. We got to quarter final of ours and lost, which was a desperate shame. But there you go. And we won the League Cup, and had a great season. And Needham moved up to Ryman Division One North. So that was great. And then another guy who I'd become pretty good mates with in the summer, the chairman at Leicester, Andy Crisp, phoned me up and said, "Our things, we need a manager. You know, we've tried the hardest, and we just can't get ourselves out of the Eastern Counties League," which was fine. And I like working with Danny, don't get me wrong, but I wasn't the number one. I was a general manager, call it what you like, you know, and I was his assistant, if you like. And I like to stand on fault by my own decisions, really, Dave. So I met Andy and Vice Chairman Peter from Leicester, and again, it worked. We got on. We had the crack, and I had, you know, again, it was a to quote my goalkeeping coach and buddy Nathan Munson, who's been with me as a player and as a coach for many, many years. He just said, "Well, Gaffer, looks like we've got another journey ahead in front of us," you know. So we went to Leicester, and it is a journey as well, because it's a hell of a long way from where it's about 40 miles from right here. So, but it was a, you know, it was there was a couple of my old Subby boys there, and I put together a team, and we had, you know, we won. We had two fantastic seasons. I have to say that we won the Eastern Counties League. Kent. I mean, we lost the first game of the season against Wisbeach. I never forget that. That was a real kick in the, you know what. And then after that, we never lost another game until we won the league. We were a team who were ready to go up, and we were a phenomenal. And my only disappointment was that we lost in the quarterfinal of the Vars, and it was a blow. We were really, really poor on the day. And I still maintain that at that level, there wasn't a better team than us in the country, and I know it's a sweeping statement, but that you know, because I proved that the next year we went into Roman Division One North, same team, and you know we won that league as well, and took them into Roman Premier, where they remained.
I mean, and talking to Leicester, of course, or Leicester, depending on how you say it.
It's Leicester, Dave. No, it's I tell Leicester. You what, you old boys, I hear wherever I go, I'm talking Leicester. It pees me off when I'm not the manager. So anyone who's listening to this, it's Leicester.
There we go. Leicester.
Not Leicester. Leicester.
Leicester from now on then. But I mean, you must be, again, you know, they're doing extremely well again this year. I mean, I must admit, there is it Matt Burke, there's the striker?
Matt Blake,
so yeah. I mean, coming down to Harlow this season, for me, I mean, he's been far and away probably the best striker I've seen this season. I mean, he had two chances on a day when Pugliarlo should have won the game, and put them both in the back of the net to win the game. And, you know, just seemed to me like a phenomenal striker. And
he's a good lad. He's done really well. I mean, I have to say that I was close to signing him last year. And I think that Leicester pushed the boat out a little bit to get him. And they saw something. It was such a jump from where he'd been. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful to the lad. Or he would say it. I know Matt would say it. But he has been a phenomenon, really. And we got smashed by Leicester in both the league games. I mean, absolutely mullered. You know, was it 4-1 and 5-0 or something like that? You know, 4-0, 5-1. But, he's good. He's a good player, mate. He's a player who... And I know I'm not speaking out of turn because the club have said it, but if there was ever a pro club thought, you know what, let's have a flyer, the kid's a natural goal scorer.
Oh, you can see that, yeah. Absolutely.
And what I like about him is that if the ball is coming to him, he knows where the keeper is, he knows where the goal is, and his first touch, whether it's on his chest, his knee, his arse, whatever, always gets the ball in a position to get a shot off.
Yeah.
So he can get, it's almost in one move, you get a control and a shot off. But on top of that, the thing is, and there's a lot of strikers can do that, you know, let's be honest, there's a lot of strikers can do that, but you add to the fact that the kid will work his arse off. He's like one of those wasps when you've got an ice cream, won't leave you alone in the summer, you know what I mean?
He works.
And don't let him settle, and he's been a great signing for them, and they've had a hell of a good season, haven't they?
Yeah, and I mean, when I saw him for the first time go out on the pitch, he looked like one of those players, a bit like Danny Brown that was at Harlow. You know, one of those you looked at and thought, Struth, you know, you wouldn't want to see him in the light alley, let alone a dark alley.
I love Danny Brown as a footballer. I thought he had a great, for a big lad who was frightening to look at. He had fantastic left peg.
Yeah.
He really had a fantastic left peg. I thought he was a great player.
I mean, must have been one of my favourite players that I've seen, must have been. And my daughters as well. I must have been. She met him for the first time. He came out of the dressing room, and I said to him, "Do us a favour, Dan." I said, "Could you sign my daughter's shirt for me?" And I got it for her birthday. And he walked outside, and she was standing outside waiting for me outside the club. I think at the time she probably was only about 14, 15. And he's walked out of the club and said, spoke to her, and went, "Oh, hello, Hayley," like that. And her face was just like she'd met David Beckham or something like that. Do you know what I mean? She was just in complete awe. And when I walked out, she went, "Dad, Danny spoke to me." You know, so she was really sort of.
The only thing I couldn't understand about Danny Brown was he played a lot at left back, but I always used to think he was a better centre half. But I could never think. I seen him play against him, he was left back, but I was sort of left side of centre half. He was terrific, you know, good in the air, big lad, got a bit about him, you know, and frightening as well as you alluded to, you know. But there you go. I always liked him as a footballer a lot.
So your second spell then you went to Leicester. So I mean, you know, how do we get on?
Well, the third season at Leicester, we started off really poorly. We struggled similar to Needham last year, but again, interesting comparisons, and perhaps you get a bit of experience. We gave the lads a chance who'd got us up, and added one or two to the team in rival Premier for Leicester, and we were poor. The lad, our goalkeeper, a couple of years, who was Louis Johnson, one of the funniest guys I've ever took a goalkeeper, mad as a hatter, and he was great for us the 2 years before, but in Roman Premier, Dave, he was throwing balls in his own net and he would hold his hand up to that, you know what I mean, and that was just a bit of a shame. So we brought a kid in called Danny Potter, quite a well-known goalkeeper from he was playing for Eastbourne, but he lived in Ipswich, which is like just up down the road from Leicester. So we brought him in and one or two others, and we turned the season around, and When I was on, we were up to eighth, but it wasn't quite right. You know, it wouldn't be appropriate to speak out of turn, but it wasn't right. And I told Andy, the chairman, that I was going to finish at the end of the year. I gave a written notification of that, and then really after about a week, I thought, well, you know, if it's a strange thing, sometimes you want to be honest with the team and say this is what's going to happen, but actually. It seemed unfair to be there and then going to be leaving. And this was February time in that season. And whereas if I went, it gave me the opportunity to get somebody in, get them to work with the players. A lot of them were out of contract. And so I left, I resigned and went. And I enjoyed the 2.5 years. And again, at Leicester, I think I thought Sudbury, I've got a lot of good friends there, a lot of people like me, and I suspect there's quite a few who don't like me. But that's I suppose if you're gonna a bit like me, I'm never afraid to stick my head above the pulpit, you know, and take the flag and say the things that people don't want to say, and that doesn't always work for everyone. But anyway, so listen, I had a great time there, and I'll tell you a little story actually. I won't mention the chap's name because I don't want to embarrass him, but there's a family who are heavily involved with Leicester, and the father, and he absolutely loved what we'd done there. He was so pleased we got Leicester up the leagues, and he used to turn up every week, and I'm quite a fan of old traditional English food like smoked fish and you know, lovely sausages, this and the other things like that, smoked meat, and this old boy used to bring me something every week. He'd give me a kibber from down at, or he'd bring me some lovely sausages this and the other, and he wouldn't take anything for it, David. He just said, "Mark, you've made us so happy as a family what you've done." And I tell you what, that meant more to me than anything anyone's ever done for me in all the years as a non-league footballer. Because I tell you what, when someone's, you can see that what you've done at a football club, and we talk about, you know, players' money and all this and all the development and all the rest of it, but the grassroots, if someone like that said that meant the world to you, that was really, really important. So I'll leave the story moves on for a little while. We played Leicester a couple of weeks ago and what was an epic semi-final of the local Suffolk FA, the Premier Cup.
Sounded a great game.
Sorry?
It sounded a great game.
Oh, mate, yeah. One of the lads from the East Anglia said it's the finest football he's ever seen. That was an incredible game of football, I have to say. So anyway, I'm in the dressing room, the players are out, I'm just getting the tactic ball sorted out, and there's a knock on the door. Who's outside? The old boy. Somebody shook me out, he said, "Mark," and he was there with two kippers and a pan of the nicest sausage you've ever seen, and he gave me this and he said, "You're a great friend, we miss you dearly, please take this from the family for what you've done all those years ago." And I tell you what, mate, if someone does that to you, you must be doing something right.
And
I tell you what, I put a lump in my throat. Do you know what I mean? I really did.
And
so that was great. So if he listens to this, or anyone from Leicester listens to this, they know exactly what I'm talking about. And he's a great man. And he's got a son who helps out at Leicester as well. So it was
Perhaps what we'll do then, we'll put a hashtag of kippers and sausages on the link, and then put Leicester in it, so he'll pick it up.
He's a local lad over at Leicester. I'm not quite certain whether Twitter has quite reached into his work or not yet, but perhaps I'm doing him a disservice. But there you go.
So from Leicester, was it back to Needham?
Yeah. Well, listen, what happened was that it was quite a big thing, I think. You know, locally, I'd left, and then a few days later, Danny Laws, the leader manager, phoned me and said, "It's a beer, are you great?" You know, we went out and had a couple of beers, and he basically said to me, "Look, I think they were floundering a little bit. I think Danny was finding it difficult to get some players in, and but he's a fantastic coach, Danny. And anyway, so he says, "Look, come in the building. I'll become head coach. You manage a team. You sign the players. I'll coach them." And I said, "Great. Yeah, fine." So that was the plan for the following season. He was going to see the season out. I was going to watch them go. What I was going to do was watch some lads in the academy, see what we had in the building, and watch some games around the place to get a few players lined up to talk in the summer. And then the new regime would start. But as it turned out, Leicester made an offer to Danny to go there as manager, as replacing me, which was too good for him to turn down. And he went to Leicester, and my old management team, Lee Norfolk was the head coach, the player coach was manager with Steve Foley and Nathan Munton. So bizarrely, I took over, 10 games ago, I took over at Needham, and Danny went to Leicester, and I went to Needham, and my management staff came with me, and then we agreed a deal at Needham. But so we had 10 games left. We weren't going to go up, we weren't going to go down. We were in the middle of Rome, Division 1 North. So I said to the chief executive, Graham, I said, "Look, Graham, I'm going to play all the kids for the academy, because let's see if we've got a player or two in there." We've done that. We lost 8, drew 1, won 1. Didn't matter. We weren't going to go anywhere. But out of that, we got a young lad who, in my humble opinion, is the finest young footballer I've ever come across in non-league football. They're called Kieran Morphew, who's playing for us now still. Yeah. And that's what happened. And then that started that and then Mano said it again. Gaffer, it's another journey, another team to build, and that's what we've done. So that was 5 seasons ago. Yeah, so we done that, and then we started off. So with a very new team and a new beginning at Needham.
So can we skip back or skip forward or where we want to go? Right in the middle of all of that, to that probably the best season of football that I've ever been involved in or watched, which of course was the 100-point season, shall we say, as I always call it. I mean, what was that like from Needham's point of view, you know, with that sort of, you know, if you win one week, you could go second. You win the next week, you go first. And it was one of those seasons where I know I was, you know, personally myself, you know, every week sort of having sort of football web pages open or the non-league paper open, you know, or trying to find out on, you know, Twitter or somewhere to try and find out how Needham were doing and stuff like that. I mean, what was it like from the other side of the fence as such?
So you're talking about the game when we won the league and you were second,
well,
at Harlow.
Yeah, yeah, that season, yeah, yeah.
Well, listen, mate, if there was ever two... Because, did you didn't get up for the playoffs that year, did you?
No, we lost to Thurrock on the Wednesday night. Yeah, we considered a goal about, I don't know, 20 seconds into each half and kept pulling it back every time, and then they kept nicking one. So it was, it was horrific.
Well, you know, we talk about the playoffs and they're great. There's a lot of plus points for them. But sometimes you think, you know what, that team deserved to go out. I mean, Needham and Harlow that season was an incredible season. To think, as you say, both had 100 points, both scored more than 100 goals. You know, I mean, ridiculous scenario. Mm. It's ridiculous situation, and you know, it was like that. You're looking at it all the time. You're on the touchline. How are Harlow doing? You know, yeah. And I suppose Chapman was saying the same.
Yeah.
Harlow, do you know what I mean? And it was and actually the game at the end of the season at Needham where you got a draw.
So we're two down. Yeah.
Well, you were two down. You should have been five. We should have been outside at half-time.
Yeah,
we were brilliant in the first half. But do you know what? I know your manager, Danny, who's a great man. I like him immensely. And I know he's had his critics over the years. But listen, he made a change at half-time. And you had the lad, Danny Cowley, playing for you.
That's it,
He moved Danny from wide into centre mid behind the striker. And he cast us open, mate. And actually, at the end of the day, I think the Lions were disallowed a goal to win the game 3-2.
I think Craig ball fell to Craig Pope. I think almost last kick of the game, and he put it wide, and it was like, aha! Anybody else but Craig, it probably might have gone in.
But that was one of those classic games, and of course we then went off to Chatham and had to win to win the league because we that day Needham were unplayable. Yeah.
I mean, I think up to about 16 minutes though. I think it was about 16 minutes, 26 minutes before you scored. And we were top because we were winning, you were losing, and he's thinking, oh, well, this could happen. Do you know what I mean? And then I was speaking to Chatham, people, and said, we'll do our best for you, and all this business, you know, and it was quite funny on the show.
Once we got the first goal, we had the lad in Westlake, he'd been with us for a couple of years, the ex-pro, who'd come back into football and played for us for 2 years, and that was his last game of football. And I've never seen a more determined player to win a game of football. And he won it on his own, basically.
Yeah.
He was brilliant. He was so brilliant on the day. And that was a great season. That was a great season, really. And I feel for Danny, really, that you guys didn't go up. You know, it was a real shame. But obviously, you kicked on the next season. Mm. And now you've become established at Step.
So, I mean, going to the, you know, you go into the Ryman Prem last year, last season. Tough season?
Tough. I like to think I'm a pretty honest guy, Dave, and pretty straight guy, and I tell it the way it is. And if a lot of people won't tell, a lot of managers don't speak the truth because they're a bit egotistic and they don't want to feel that they're opening themselves up to criticism or they're not showing that they're big and tough and in charge. I had some lonely days last season. I had some desperately sad times when I was when you're thinking, how do I get out of this? Do you know what I mean? The great thing was the chief executive Graham Emerson, I mentioned him at Needham, and the chairman Keith Nunn, throughout that season, they used to pull me and say, if we go down, you're the man, you're our future, you know. And that really helped having that, you know. And I desperately hope that Jamie's getting that at Sudbury, and any other team who manages. I dearly hope that the people in charge of these clubs go and give the manager their full support. And that was always in the back of my mind. We had that. And to be fair, we had a great run last year. We had a spell. I won Manager of the Month in November or something like that. We didn't get a point until the 3rd of October, so we were already miles behind to start with. And we had a goalkeeping problem. We changed the goalkeeper, brought Danny Gay in. It's been a great signing for a great experienced keeper. One or two other players in, and signed an guy called Jay Davis, who is now in Australia. But he was a great. He played like number 10 behind the striker, and I like to have that player on my team. Leighton Gareth, who played mid late at Sudbury, he's probably the best number 10 I've ever come across, you know. And I think I like that style of play personally, you know. And Jay got coming aside and did really well, and we won 10 on the bounce, something like that. And but then bizarrely, he had a problem with a girlfriend situation, I think, like these women do, us blokes sometimes. And he went to Australia, he up and left. Like, told me, he just texted me, Gaffer, I'm off from Australia. And I'm thinking, and this was January, I think. He said April was already, you know, is it April 4 or something? But he went. And so we struggled a bit, but then we got to turn around at the end of the season. And then the last game to beat Dulwich Hamlet at home, we got to Dulwich away and beat him 1-0, got battered and beat him 1-0, which was a great win for us. And then we beat Dulwich at home, last game of the season, we finished from bottom, was a, you know, that I've been fortunate enough to have been quite successful over the years, but that was one. Keeping Needham up with so many young players in the team, because that's our ethos. Our plan was to stay up, Dave. That was it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're not going to BS anyone. We just want to stay up, and we stayed up with 11 of the squad were 22 and under, you know, and the experience we got from that bad season. And the way we turn it around is, I think, a lot to do with why we've done very well this season.
So I was going to ask you that question. What is the difference between, you know, last year and this year? I mean, this year, you know, I'm just sitting here looking at the paper, 68 points, 42 games, 4 left. You got Met Police away at the weekend, then Harrow Borough at home, Sudbury away, and then I was going to say something else, but one, Billericay Town at home on the last game of the season. So, I mean, you've got some tough. You know, you got Billericay in there. You've got Sudbury, probably, maybe, hopefully, shall we say, still fighting for their lives in there as well. So you've got a couple of games. But, I mean, I know you were sort of sitting third, and now all of a sudden it's fifth. I mean, are you still confident of getting the team into the playoffs?
Well, to be fair, I mean, and I'm not trying to sound blasé, Dave, but I don't care because we have totally overachieved this season.
Yeah.
We are so much further forward. Than where we plan to be. We want this season was about becoming established at step three. 10th place would be drinking champagne at the end of season two, and you know that would be great. You know what I mean? And as I said, we've got the lads got a lot of experience from last year, which is good. But of course, bringing Richard Wilkins in, as you know, he's going to be manager next year. Wilkes is, you know, I was amazed that Leighton thing is amazing. Leighton, that he left the ego. That was our gain. I think he's a really good guy. Tom Wathery, our head coach, is a really, really good coach. Really, and the attention to detail and I've seen that in our dressing room, Dave. That's why I can step away, because I know the football team's in good hands. You know, so that's great. The games that worry me actually are. Playing Coop's team on Saturday, playing Jim's team on Saturday, Met Police, and Harrow Borough, because they're both really good teams with nothing to play for.
Yeah.
And we had the same problem as Stones at the weekend. You know, we started well, lost away a little bit. Stones have got some good players, and obviously it's a great sub over there, and they can just go and play. So there's no edge to their game, and they play with some freedom and beat it 4-1, and God, it could have been 10, You know, they were really, really good. And you think, what the hell is team? Well, they are, but it's easier to play. So I think the next two games will be really difficult for us. Mm. But saying that, the last three seasons, I've been involved in incredible last games. You know, we my first full year at Needham, we had to win the last game of the season against Chatham by 6+ goals to get in the playoffs. And we beat him 7-0. 7-1.
I remember that
it
game.
And people talk about conspiracy plots and all this and the other. But we were just terrific on the day.
I remember that game. I remember that game because I'd had a conversation on the show, I think the week before, and we was talking to Ray Dyer, believe it or not. And I said to Ray, he was asking who he thought would get.
Top man, Ray.
I was trying to work out who was going to get in the playoffs, and I can't remember who it was. Who was in there with? Was it Thurrock? Was it? I think it was somewhere around that area.
Thurrock lost out because we turned the goal difference around.
Yeah, and I said to him, I thought that Needham would get in there. I had that feeling that you'd do it, and Ray sort of looked at me and laughed. And then I remember I was working at Tesco's at the time, and I was there on the phone, and I had you on sort of like. Notification, and of course it felt like every 5 seconds the phone kept beeping, and it was another one, then another one,
mate,
then another one.
You had to be there. I mean, Chatham hit the bar twice, and the post. I mean, it was to be. I think the big fella upstairs looked down and I sat down and thought, today is your day, you know. And so that was great. We beat Chatham to win the league. Obviously, we discussed it earlier on in the 100-point-plus season with you lads.
Yeah, yeah.
And then last game of the season, I wanted to finish outside. I know only three were going to go down because of the farmer scenario, but I wanted to win. And then beating Dudley's Hamlet. But yeah, they got in the playoffs, and we beat them, and we were terrific. So I just think that game against Billericay is going to be one of them. And let's be honest, if there's ever a case of David and Goliath, that is the game. And I think we know David is going to be in that encounter. So, but do you know what? My last game of the season have been pretty good in the last 3 years.
I will put it past this. Put it that way.
I would never put it past this. That's quite right. You know what I mean? And you know, that'll be my last league game was Needham manager. We've got Cup Final to come on May 8th, but that would be the last game was Needham manager in the league. And you know, I think that I just have a feeling that that's what it will be. I just think it's going to come down. I look at the way it's going to go, and I think to myself, do you know what? I can see that being a straight shoot-up between us and them for the fifth place.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Does it amaze you? We spoke to Kelly about this last week. Does it amaze you? And I'll go on about golden weekends and. There always seems to be golden weekends in the fixtures, and it's not necessarily that Kelly's putting them in because she knows what's going to happen. It's almost as if she does know, but of course she doesn't. Yeah. You know, you look at yourself and Billericay, last game of the season, you know, two games, you know, the week before, it's the same situation as it was for Harlow and Needham, where it's Bognor against Havant. You go down to the South Division, and the last game of the season there is Dalton at home to Tooting and Mitcham.
Really,
do you know what I mean? So, you know, it's like there just seems to be weeks where you look at them and you think, God damn, have a look at all these fixtures where they all seem to fall into place where you think someone actually knows before the season and make sure they the right. I mean, but for me, it's really weird.
You're right, it does seem to happen. I don't know what that is. I mean, if it was Kelly's doing it, she's done a bloody good job and she did all those guys together. But of course, in Ryman Premier this year, we've got seven teams for three places. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I'm looking. I mean,
it's incredible. You know, it's. I mean, you think of all those clubs. Every game is exciting game. You've got a few more people coming through the gates, which helps these clubs. You know, and I mean, obviously, from our point of view, we know that Billericay is going to be a great payday. If nothing else for us, you know.
I'm looking at it now, Mark, and it's Leiston 68, Dulwich 68, Tonbridge 68, U 68. Enfield 66, Billericay 66, Wingate 66, and Harlow 64.
Yeah.
So all the way down to 10th, there's just the four goals in it.
What did you put Harlow in there for?
I just thought I'd sneak him in.
No, I'm joking, mate. Let's
just sneak him in. But no, I mean, you know,
it's incredible, mate. It's incredible. It's going to be. How do you take your eyes off it? You know what I mean? I mean, the battle for the top two in itself is really interesting because one sips up, one wins, and that game at
I think it's Haven. Yeah.
Is it on the bank holiday Monday? Is that
it's holiday Monday, and I was speaking to Trevor on Monday, and he said the good thing about that is he said all the local clubs around in Portsmouth and the rest of them all around that area are all away that weekend as well. He said so, he reckons. But one thing he did let slip, and I'll let you sort of like, wish for this, I suppose, at Needham for the future, but he did make a quote that the yearly turnover at Havant and Waterlooville is £1.5 million.
What's that for?
The actual turnover of the club, £1.5 million.
Turnover of the club.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right.
This will be all right, isn't it? Yeah, not too bad at all. Yeah. So, I mean, outside of football, just as a last question, Mark. I mean, outside of football, I mean, you said about your business and your business doing really, really well, and family life and that. Everything going okay outside of football?
Yeah, I've got three great kids. I unfortunately was divorced in 2010, but I've got three great kids. I managed to get something quite rare for a dad, but I've got shared custody of my children, so they're with me half a week. Two girls, Ella and Lily. Ella's doing her GCSEs, and I've got a son, Zach, who's 10. He plays rugby, not football, which is fine because it's a great game as well.
Yeah.
The business is fine. I own two companies. I own a letting agency, and I own a company of financial advisors based here in Manningtree. I've been doing the job 29 years. 30 years next February, and I've been based in the town here at Manningtree since 1999, so I've been here a long while, same office, and what I do is I invest people's money. That's what I do, and I've got a company business here. It's obviously we've got mortgage advisor and bits and pieces, and so that's me away from football. The business we had a bad time through the divorce because my ex-wife owned half the company, and that was a bit of a shame. I won't elaborate on that, but you can guess the way that thing went. But we start off from scratch again, and now we're going okay. And you never want to count your chickens, but the business has grown year on year, and that actually is one of the reasons why the move to becoming the chairman at Needham helps, because it just takes that every pressure away from us. But that's fine. That's really good. I'm also the mayor of Manningtree. I don't know if you knew that or not. But
I didn't know that. There we go.
Yeah, I've been on the council for a number of years. I'm a great supporter of the business in our little town. Manningtree is England's smallest town. I don't know if you knew that as well, but it's England's smallest town, and I'm a great supporter of the business community. And I got onto the council, and then 3 years ago I was elected as mayor, and I've been mayor since. So I've got my chain and all that old BS, But a few things outside football, which is great, And I do a bit of fishing, and I play a bit of golf badly. plenty to fill me day up, Dave. Plenty to fill me day up.
So we're not going to see any time in the near future then the Mark Morsley Isthmian League.
Oh dear.
Is this why it's all being kept really quiet? Because we don't know what it's going to be.
That, I can assure you, my friend, that secret is nothing to do with my firm. I think it's a great league, and I think Kelly is an exceptional secretary. For a lady to do that job like she does, and has run really, really well. It would be a great honour to be associated with that, but. The Mark Morsley Empire following the Ryman Empire. I don't think we're in where a little bit needed, a bit of Ricky, I could say. And I say that in the nicest possible way.
To me, and just to finish, I've been involved in the league now for. Well, not actually the league, but actually the actual football side of it, I suppose, now with Harlow and everything for about 5-6 years. And sort of now, just recently we're doing the show and the league sort of backing the show now as well. And it's been fantastic to be involved in that. But I can honestly say, and I mean this sincerely, that there's only probably been, other than our manager ourselves at Harlow, there's been two managers that in the Isthmian Leagues that... I've got massive time for, and you know, I'm glad to call them sort of friends, I suppose, in the league itself. And one of those is you, sir. I think you do a fantastic job, and every time we get to, I get to meet you, it's always fantastic to be in your company. So,
I really enjoy. That's a really, really kind. I'm humbled by that, you know. And to be fair, though, Dave, I've always thought you were a bit of a dick. and I apologise if I shouldn't have said that on live radio. But, no, mate, no, seriously, I love the thing you're doing with the radio, and you know, and you lads over at Harlow are all good people, you know. So it's. And it's been a pleasure to be on your show this morning, mate.
No way. So thank you very much. I know you're a very busy man, so we'll let you get back to your job. And a massive thank you, mate. Again. And all the best for the rest of the season, last four games. And hopefully we'll see you in those playoffs, mate.
Thanks, Dave. Top man.
Thanks, mate. Bye, mate. Speak to you. Bye-bye. And that was Mark Morsley from Needham Market. A great chat with Marco, who, as I said, he's a fantastic guy. We'll be back with more off the cuff shows in the coming weeks. So please stay with us, and don't forget the other shows, ones with Nick Robinson and of course with Young Kelly as well. So find us all on the Ryman Roundup Show podcast, which is on Audio Boom, and of course you can also find it all through Twitter and Facebook as well. So why not join us for the next edition of the On the Cuff Show.